Lancers that. And I would like to ask you all to join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. We have four present today, and in keeping with our usual tradition, we're going to go around the room and introduce ourselves and who we represent today. And we'll start with the front up here and work around and go through the audience. So, Kathy, it looks like you get to start us off today.
Kathy Hines, Center for Spatial Analysis.
Andrea Cruz, Department of Wildlife.
Jay Adams, Department of Transportation.
Mike Shagrew, Water Resources Authority.
Kim Carter, Oklahoma Office of Homeland Security.
Mike Sharp, Conservation Commission.
Troy Frazier, Oklahoma Tax Commission.
Jane Weber, Oklahoma Geological Survey.
Ed Wheelock, Oklahoma Department of Agriculture, Food and Forestry.
Michael Larson, the Office of State Director.
Amy Burton, Department of Environmental Quality.
Everyone Lobby, representing city government.
Dick Clark, Office of State Finance.
Dan Hunt, Oklahoma Biological Survey.
Shelley Willoughby, Office of Geographic Information.
Emily Eckerman-Barringer with ACOG.
Caroline Yolanda, OMG.
Michael Fenaro, ESRI.
Charles Brady, City of Ardmore.
Bob Springer, Benchmark GPS.
Terry Smith, U.S. Geological Survey.
David Hamilton, Water Resources Board.
Kevin Seaside, Water Resources Board.
Billy Music, Jacobs Engineering.
Jared Norris, Jacobs Engineering.
Susan Langley, Department of Agriculture, Food and Forestry.
Stacia Canaday with ESRI.
Carrie Landgraf, Benham.
Sohail Sanji, Oklahoma State Department of Health.
Jeff Clayton, High Mount Exploration and Production.
Major Chris Douglas, Oklahoma National Guard.
Lieutenant Colonel Mark Clifton, Oklahoma National Guard.
Lieutenant Colonel Greg Langford, Oklahoma National Guard, County Drug Operation.
Captain Soto, Oklahoma Army National Guard.
Gail, that conversation exists. Eric Bartholomew, Department of Wildlife. Alan Janice, Department of Wildlife. Locker,
Department of Health and Services.
Okay. Thank you all very much for being here, and just want to remind you, we do have a sign-in sheet. If you didn't get your name and information on that, please do, and we'll be glad to keep you up to date on activities with the council. The minutes for the September meeting have been circulated to the council members. Does anyone have any corrections to the minutes or comments? If there are none, I'd entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Motion been made and seconded to approve the minutes as published. Any discussion on that? Hearing none, those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Okay, minutes have been approved. On to the committee reports. Shelley, you want to bring us up to date on our job description activity?
Well, I've been in contact with OPM and still working on the job descriptions. They have sent the cost impact letter to seven different agencies. Some of the council members will see that I put a specific letter on your packet. What that states is there's seven questions that they have asked HR to answer. I just wanted to let those know that they will be asked to fill those out and return those by November 15th. And that just helps them to decide, you know, what kind of information needs to be gathered. Once they get those back or get a no response from those agencies, then they'll decide whether or not they need to go back through for internal review or whether or not we can go straight to open meeting. And the open meeting is supposed to be our last process that we will have to go through before they're implemented. So we're still working through some of the requests for different agencies. So if you could work with your HR person and try and get those in, that would be greatly appreciated. So if you have any questions, please let me know, and I can answer any questions.
Well, process continues. You know, we've been at this, three and a half years now, trying to get these job descriptions in the OPM. One heard back another. Shelley's tenacious. Staying with her. So that's great. Okay, Amy, do you have anything on your
For the environmental GIS data work group, we met Tuesday, and we're talking about a
project to try to join state water body ID to the NHD system. We're also looking for some more input from tribes, so trying to do outreach to the tribe. And we'll have our next meeting at the beginning of January. So if anybody's interested in contact me or Shelley, we'll get you hooked into the work group.
Hey, Dan, on land cover?
Yeah, we've been pretty busy since the last time. We met after the last council meeting on September 10th. Zhongming Zhao of the OU's Earth Observation and Modeling Facility joined the group and gave a little present poster of things that his group is working on and some of their facilities that they have there. One of the things he mentioned is they have at that meeting he talked about, they have what they call community remote sensing facility and a field photo library, so people from the public can upload photos that they take of the vegetation in their area, and they georeference them and keep that in the library. They have a very elaborate that was most of that meeting then. We did give our poster at the Oklahoma Scott meeting as well, so that was there. Then on October 18th, we met again, this time at the Stevenson Research and Technology Center at OU, where John Bean Dow's facility is located, and he gave us sort of an overview of the things they're doing, and also discussed the project they got started on using the four-banded Nate photography. They had some sample photography from the Tonto Prairie and Kansas they went through. We're trying to see how, whether they could develop algorithms to get the vegetation done there. They've made some progress on, for instance, being able to distinguish between broadleaf and coniferous trees and those kind of things. So we're kind of encouraged with that. We're interested in helping us on our group here in Oklahoma. So we're trying to wait for the four band for this year's subnet photography. We might be able to do on that. We're going to try to get some representative photography. I think it maybe start in a place like the Arbuckles that has a lot of different vegetation types that are pretty well known that we can start working on. So they're working on developing algorithms for that. They also have some additional opportunities for us at that lab. They have some equipment that actually allows you to measure reflectivity on leaves in the field, so we can actually that helps produce a visual library like the spectral library where there's depictions and I like user put together with the imagery that we get. So we're doing that. They also have some cameras with GIS built in that they can checking out, for instance, to the mezzanine people as they're going around the state taking photographs and things that they can have in their library. Ground truthing done in terms of free or in addition. So that was most of that meeting. I was talking to them. We've also been still looking at different funding opportunities, and we're pursuing those at this time. And again, waiting on the photography to be delivered.
We're looking forward to that. USDA's been real good to work with us on. Looks like we're going to get the full band photography whenever it comes available. So we're working to finalize the agreement on that. And I think they realize there's a lot of benefits that can be derived from that full band photography for this land cover update. But there's a lot of uses for it outside of it as well. So it'll be a nice data set to have. And so get it out there for everybody to use. Still haven't seen the technical. Yeah, it's probably We have a few technical difficulties over here, so why don't we just move down to the next item on the agenda and talk about GIS data? Anything that anybody has on that? Anyone want to bring up? I know we're waiting to get the final Nate photography up.
I just checked that for yesterday.
I just checked this morning, and you know, the whole center part of the country is green on the status map, except for eastern Oklahoma, a little bit, northwestern Arkansas. So, a little bit behind schedule on the delivery. I think that was due September 30th, it was supposed to be out. So, I don't know what's going on there.
Mike, I have a question. Way back to the job descriptors letter here. The letter that asked the questions, immediate impact on FY 2007, impact on FY 2008, are those correct?
David, that's just a sample letter that they sent me.
Oh.
So that's, yours will be correct. That was just something that they had sent to me because I was asking for a cost impact letter, what they should be looking for, and that's just an example.
Okay, so you said they're going to send this one?
Yes, yes. Your HR person should have received a letter directly to HR with your agency information in it and questions. The questions will be the same, but the dates will be correct, of course.
Okay.
So. Okay, just encourage you to follow up with your HR people to keep pushing on that, otherwise, we don't want it to slide off the edge of the table or not be addressed and get back on. Anybody have anything else that you're working on?
I have a question. What is the four-band photography that was being discussed? What exactly is that? What does that provide that, say, other means of photography don't provide?
Okay. The fourth band is usually what we get, our red, green, blue, bright band. But the fourth band is a near-infrared band.
Okay.
And that is particularly useful for vegetation classification.
It's also good for highlighting water areas too.
Right.
The water areas stand out from that fourth band. So you want to do a wetland delineation or something like that. It's useful for that type of analysis. Okay, well, I think we're going to have to just kind of could a little bit. I'm not a dancer, so I don't.
I did have a question too on the job descriptions.
Yes, sir.
As I recall, those job descriptions are related to or oriented to the positions that you all have for your geographic information council, right?
Correct.
So I was curious, the agencies that you sent those, or that OPM has sent those to review. Are those agencies that also may have individuals that would be employed in those particular job descriptions, job classifications?
All those agencies that are listed have people working in that area in GIS-related functions. If they don't have a job description to plug them into, they pretty much have to find an IT or an engineering type job description if you're going to put them in a merit system to plug them into.
Right.
For example, I'm a revenue unit manager, and what that has to do with mapping, I have no idea, but since I'm from the tax commission, that's the slot that I've been put in.
So Jay has the same kind of problem over in transportation?
Yeah, all of our GIS people are under the CAD series, the computer-aided drafting and design, which isn't quite right.
Are the HR departments that also reviewing the pay bands? And
yes. Yes, they've got pay bands established for all these positions. Pretty well, it's not quite what we had recommended, but you know, I guess we're close. Actually, we started the process, 10 years ago or so when Jan Hook was on this council. physical. Tried to revive that again after we've got our legislation updated in 2004.
So Mike, these are the three job titles that would all be just GIS technician, A, B, or C?
And then there's a specialist.
Oh, so this would be a specialist.
There's a specialist position and there's a manager position.
Again, David, this is just a sample letter of what they'll be sending. So what you're seeing here isn't necessarily the complete letter. It was just something she sent me as kind of a sample as to what you guys will be looking for.
Do you have copies of all the job descriptions?
I had one just sent before, but then I thought it was simplified. There were some things that cut out.
There's been some modifications, yeah. In fact, one of the levels of the manager position was taken out.
Right.
They've just reworded a little bit, but there wasn't any major changes that I recall that they made from our initial drafts to what we have now.
I can send the official version to you, David, so that the official version of the job descriptions, so that you'll have that if they ask you any questions.
Bring them up today on the broadband, Matt?
Yeah. Sure. We had a, we've been involved in a broadband mapping project to map broadband availability across the state. And we have made two submissions now to NTIA, the National Telecommunications Information Administration. The first submission was in May, and the second day submission was in early October. And we now have data from 64 providers in the state. That has been mapped. We reviewed the map with NTIA on October 22nd, I think it was. They were very impressed with the map that we've developed for Oklahoma. In fact, they commented that our map is in the top five of all the maps that they've reviewed. They have to review the state maps before the states are allowed to publish those on our website. We have a broadband website that is set up on OK.gov. If you go to OK.gov, one of the categories is broadband, and you can click on that and go to our broadband website and get information about the project. And also take a survey. If you're at your home, you can fill in a survey. You can take a speed test, and then that information is captured also for broadband availability. So we're getting very close. Mike and Shelley and Kathy and OU have all been working with Sanborn Map Company, our contractor on this project, to get the map finalized. They're also putting in the data that was submitted in round two, so it will be very up to date. We also initially, when NTIA made the awards, they awarded for a two-year project. So we had projects through 2011. They came back earlier this year and they had funds for additional 3 years if you wanted to apply for those. We did that, and we did get that grant. So now our project runs through 2014. That's pretty much where we are. There are actually 109 providers in Oklahoma, and to date we've been able to collect data from 64 of those. Some of those are resellers and so forth, so they're not really counted in that 109, but hopefully as we go forward we'll be able to collect data from more of those providers. Plus, as providers offer services in broader areas, we collect that information also. So that map will be continually updated and you'll be able to see exactly, you know, what areas of the state have coverage, what kind of coverage you have in your area where you happen to live, and what, who the providers are, and so forth. So that should be getting posted here in the next couple of weeks. Should be on our website.
This mapping application that they've developed is built on the same open source software that we use for OK Maps, GeoServer. It seems to be functioning quite well. So I'm real pleased with that. They're going to be tapping into actually the WMS map service on OK Maps to bring in, I think, 2008 photography is one of the base maps there. So we will. Be interesting to see how that impacts our server when everything goes live. See what kind of load they're actually planning to deploy their mapping application in the cloud on a virtual server, so that if it hits 80% capacity, for example, it will automatically spawn another server and then another server if that's needed. So, you know, depending on how much of a load hits that, we could see a pretty good load on our end. Most people that hit it are probably going to want to see their house. That was generally me zooming in and looking at a aerial photo and that sort of thing. So it'll be a good test.
This map has multiple layers too. You'll be able to pull up a layer, excuse me, that shows the legislative districts in the state and just all kinds of different information, some demographic information and so forth. So it's a pretty versatile product.
I'd just like to thank Dick for his tenacity in working on this project, because he's really the project manager for Oklahoma and coordinating all this with NTIA and the various entities, and it takes a lot of time, and Dick's also responsible for coordination of the whole move into the new data center as well, so he's got his plate that's running over. We just appreciate what you're doing, Dick, for us on this project.
Our new building is virtually complete, and we are starting to move into it. So I'll be very glad when that project is done.
I have a question. What are those big discs out in front of?
Well, the legislation was passed in 2004, I believe, for art in public places on all new buildings and also any renovation that's over $500,000 in value. So. This building obviously qualified for that, and so that is our art in public places. There were over 70 artists that submitted proposals for the art in public places. It was narrowed down to five, and the committee interviewed those five and selected this particular artist. He does what is called earth cast sculpture, and the concept on those discs is the early days of Oklahoma, the agricultural roots of Oklahoma. Those are plow discs, and the berms there are supposed to be furrows, being created by those plow discs. And then on the north side of the building, northeast side up on Lincoln, is a kind of a modern-looking disc representing modern-day Oklahoma. So you have kind of the roots of Oklahoma, and then modern day, the modern technology. So
that's kind of what I thought it was. It goes back to my roots. I was a farmer, raised on a farm, farmed for 20 years before I actually worked here. Actually, part time while I was working in the state farm. And to me, that's what looked like big displays out there. So I thought that was pretty neat.
Red earth of Oklahoma.
Okay, well, now we can move on to the highlight of the day. We have our speaker, Mr. Alex Pettit, who's the Chief Information Officer for the State of Oklahoma. And he's going to give us some insight on this path that we're going down, IT consolidation, and revamping the state's IT structure. Make some progress there that we needed. Alex, I assume everything's set up, ready to go.
I appreciate everybody's patience here this morning. I know where to begin. We had some difficulties there getting the thing. I left my stick back at home this morning. So I had done all this work on a presentation, put it all together, did all this stuff, and then left the kind of picking thing at home this morning for whatever reason. So fortunately, one of the initiatives that that we've accomplished here early on was we've established a wiki, a community of practice. You know, and we've got a lot of these community of practices going and across the state. One of them is the CIO community. And so I was able to go out to my wiki here. See if I still have that sticker up. Yeah, I sure do. So I was able to go out to my wiki and download and like anybody, I mean, I never reinvent the wheel, right? I just go ahead and keep redoing the, oh, I've got to use this one. Here, there we go. So I just go out to my wiki, my CIO community, and I can go up here and find whatever it is I want. We have several communities already established here. We've got one for Confluence. I'll talk a little bit about the Shibboleth implementation, the federated architecture. We got one for social networking and social media. We got one for the radio committee. We're going to have one pretty soon for the broadband going. We're going to have, there's a community of practice that's starting underneath the CIO wiki for project management. So trying to simplify and really, it's not about consolidation, it's about simplification. So let me get that right out right away. That was something that was said there. We're really not about consolidation. It's the focus and the primary objective is simplifying what we have and how we interoperate and how we work together and what have you. So that's very important to state there. So I was able to go out here and grab a couple of the presentations that I've done previously. And I post these things. I should have posted this one last night up there, but I would have been thinking too far ahead. So, you know, I usually post things after I present them. But I would submit to you for your consideration that a community of practice for GIS would be a worthwhile thing to do. It's just wiki.ok.gov. So that's our site for it. Obviously, you can get to it from APC as long as you remember your password. So, you know, that was the other thing I needed to call and get my, because it saves it on my, of course, under my browser, you know, and so I don't have, I'll have to remember it. So they had to reset it for me real quick. But no worries, we're all good. So, you know, we're still going on here. So anyway, so I'm Alex Pettit. Previous to coming to State of Oklahoma, I was at Brown University. And we've done a VR project there and a test back in. That was what I was brought in first to manage that, and then later I was doing management consulting to the CIO. So I was there for a little over a year. Brown was a great place, but one of the events that had happened when we were doing our test for our IT stuff, and this is a true story, we were out at the restaurant the night before, and later, you know, we're all sitting around there. This is in Sterling, Florida, New York. So that's where IBM has one of their DR sites. And so we were going to bring the whole university up over there and make a 48-hour test. So we're sitting there, he asked us where we're from. We said we're from Brown. He said, oh, you don't look that smart. And today it just proved positive that he was right, you know. So anyway. So what I'm here ready to talk about, and I use a lot of the same material. So not everything, I've got some things that I wish I could show you that were in the other presentation. I'm not going to be able to do some flash things. If y'all are interested in establishing a community of practice and you're kind enough to invite me in, I'll post that stuff up there so you can see it. It talks through some of the things that we were able to do, setting up GIS as a shared service and bringing different repositories of information, whether they, you know, be... initially, they weren't spatial. They were just like crime data and other kinds of data that we could bring together and interrelate and provide a basis for people to build geospatial data and use it really. So, anyway, obviously I don't have that, but I do have my slides discussing really what do we mean when we talk about federated architecture. What do we mean when I'm talking about governance? Submit to you, this is the model that I would promote that the GIS group consider as we move forward here, and then ultimately be able to establish some of these services for the, and hopefully a community of practice. So, all right, so what is this really about? You know, one of the things that I was told when I got here, I'm going to try to get through this faster than I usually do, but I was told that this was just all about the money, right? You know, I mean, that they just want to know, how can we save money? How can we reduce our costs? How can we, the first day that I drove in from Providence, I drove in on a Saturday, Monday was my first day, I was before the House Committee of Modernization, and they asked me, so where's your long-range plan to improve the state's IT infrastructure and services? I said, well, you know, I've had all of, 32 hours of driving time, so, you know, I'd given it some thought, but I didn't really have a presentation to give them like that. And their focus is about the money, but I would submit it's more than the money. It's about transforming the relationships with citizens, department, our elected officials, and one another. You know, so really trying to figure out how we can align with what it is that we're doing. Well, alignment's been a topic of IT for years and years and years. We've talked about alignment for 20 years in the Society for Information Management. It's been, why doesn't IT align with the business? And GIS in particular has been one of these kinds of services where a lot of money has been thrown, no, not specific here, I'm just talking in general now, right? Maybe the Esri guy should take this personally. A lot of money's been thrown into this, but very little has perceived to have come out of it, you know, as far as really being able to take things and geospatially relate information and be able to see it in something that makes sense. It's something that adds more meaning to it than perhaps we do it by category or what have you. So why can't we just buy this stuff, you know, package enable re-engineering? Why can't we just all go to Esri and it all just works, you know, right? Well, I would submit to you, you're about your governance structure and how you make decisions and how you do things. That's more important, really, essentially, than what product underpins what you do. All right, so there's two very basic philosophies to IT, or actually to government. We either run on control or we run on commitment. A lot of the things that you see, the rules that we have, the policies, the procedures, all the stuff that's out there that's all about trying to make it so that we have a well-defined process to the point where I would submit to you that agencies have more of a dedication to process than they do to outcome. All right, so if we follow the right process, we can't be held accountable. We can't be held accountable for the outcome. That it's really about, did we follow the rules? Did we say what we were going to do? And we say that we're trying to control the outcome by having a strict process, that we feel that since process is the antecedent, that the outcome is dictated by what process we follow. Whenever we have a bad process, we go back and try to figure that out as to why when we have a bad outcome, we try to figure out what's busted in the process, all right? I submit to you that it's just the opposite, that really it's that we're not here to make money, we're not here to get rich, we're here because we're committed to this. This is what we do, right? So I would submit that our focus is, and particularly for this group, should be on outcomes more than on process. All right, so we're trying to build bridges with deeper trust in community, so producing easier and deeper access to exemplary tools and features. And that's really the difference between the pioneers and the settlers. I was surprised nobody knew what disparates were in the state. You know, so when I saw that thing, my father worked for Massey Ferguson for 30 years. I knew exactly what those were in front of it. I tell people they're from, if you've seen Men in Black, they're the spaceships. You know, they're making something. I looked at that and I knew it was a discount. That's what we used to call it. Anyway, the difference is between pioneers and settlers. Do we want to go where other people have already gone, or are we really ready to get in and to do something that hasn't been tried before, on a scale that hasn't been tried before? I can't really answer that, but it's going to be something for all of you to answer. And establishing my communities of practice, as I showed you with the wiki, I think this is really essential. When some wahoo years ago named Pettit wrote an article that said that you can't build trust in online environments. You can build reliance, but not trust, because we need that human interaction. We need that contact, if you will, to see the body language, to see the other person's facial expressions, to get the other stuff that you in an asynchronous environment, it doesn't work. However, I've come to believe that author was not entirely correct, that you can use these tools to help foster a sense of community.
particularly in augmentation to routine, to regular face-to-face meetings and gatherings, and to help that process along. So anyway. All right, so all the SIM surveys for 20 years, SIM is a Society for Information Management. They're a group that does a lot of yakety-yak about IT and what's wrong with it. And so for the last 20-plus years, it's been about alignment. It's been either one, two, or three. Well, why is that? Well, the ball keeps moving. So whenever we have something else that comes along, we have something else on the edge, somebody wants to get to us a different way, well, then we change how we do business. We have to all of a sudden we're out of alignment again. You know, first it was everything was going to IBM, if you're that old. And then it was all going to Microsoft, and then it's all going to the browser, and then it's all going to the iPhone. Well, as that continues to move, we continue to move technology to the front lines, right? So we're eliminating information specialists. So it doesn't matter if you're paying your taxes or you're getting information. You know, so what's happening is we no longer have a need for, we don't have to go to a place to pay our utility bill, for instance. We don't have to go to a place to, we don't have to interface with somebody who's the system specialist to accomplish what we need them to do. So a fellow by the name of T.S. Eliot asks, you know, where is the information lost in data, and where is the wisdom lost in information? He wrote that in 1901, which means we're finished now. But the point is wisdom is the integration of knowledge into a system. And I would submit that GIS is exactly that. It's trying to take pieces of disparate knowledge and integrate it into some kind of system. So it's a significantly different role for us. So we're focusing on the essence instead of just management of accidents. It used to be the problem was we had a lot of code errors, right? So we'd have a lot of stuff that just flat didn't work. Now how long we fool around with patching Microsoft, right? So, but it's shifted now into saying, well, it's not really about fixing or getting the thing right. It's really about making sure that we're actually delivering to the user what the heck it is that they want, and understanding and eliciting requirements. So I'm a doc candidate at North Texas. One of the reasons I left my stick at home is because I'm doing research on requirements analysis, all right? So I use my machine at home, and I use that to carry my stuff around on, and it's still plugged into my machine up at home. So, you know, great. But requirements analysis is really what I think is the essence of what we do. Can we elicit the requirements from the user? And do we have a way of taking those requirements and implementing and getting them into our design? Or are we instead using our tools and our predisposed ways of doing things to try to force the users into how they should be doing and how we think we should be delivering what they need. It's a difference between push and pull. We used to be a push society. That's actually the title of my presentation that I didn't bring. We used to be a society where we would push information that you needed. So when you came to work for the state here, let's say, you got pushed the information you needed from HR. You got pushed the information you needed from your boss or from wherever. They would push you the information as through your email, through memos, through whatever. Now we're becoming a pull society. And at Brown, I was very amazed by this. They just set me up with an access to their wiki, and they said, "All right, go find what you need, brother." It was kind of weird. A very different way of going about doing things. Now we go out, now they go out to these repositories, they get what they need and they bring them in. They bring the information, they seek it themselves. It's a very different paradigm than what we're used to. As we talk about law enforcement, one of the things that I think will be the next killer app will be a storyboard, where on a GIS plate you can be bringing in social media tweets, or you can be bringing streaming video off of somebody that's posting or whatever, that you can be bringing these things up in real time in a control center, in a dispatch center, and be able to storyboard them and pick which ones you want to look at and which ones you want to drop and what have you as the thing runs. Again, I think that will all be GIS based. All right, so how do we get here? Well, the bright guys at Ernst & Young, and if you ever have a chance, there's a series that I helped author called Fusion, came up with this thing called package-enabled re-engineering, all right? So it's the Fusion series, it's out on the internet, you can't miss it. And this was the commercial, and this is also goes by commercial off-the-shelf software implementation. Basically, boy, this looks awful. We take an application and we identify some focus teams that are, you know,
experts in customer service or accounting or billing or budgeting or decision support or reporting or whatever. And we asked them to identify the gaps between how they're currently doing this. This is what says gap analysis, between what they're currently doing and what the package does, all right? So they bang out, they change a process, they change a training, or they change their application. And we never change the application, by the way. We only change one of these two. Okay, so you're going to change to do what the thing tells you. And then we go to implementation. So we got alignment, right? Because now it didn't matter what you wanted to do. You're doing it my way, right? We got short-term return on investment. We got usability, quality, best practice for engineering. That's my favorite, personal. For the organizations without much integration or CIOs who need short-term results, this methodology is very appealing. What happened, though, we forego cross-departmental integration, flexibility, interoperability, seamlessness, adaptability, reusability, synergy, and the consequences are less visible the greater the stovepipe culture. So every one of these groups has their own system for doing public safety, for doing utility billing, for doing property management, for doing whatever, and there's no integration layer across it. These are little slivers. If you think about this, maybe not this table specifically, but most of the tables I present at, if you scratch the surface, it's sawdust underneath, right? That's all it is. It's just the veneer of integration that lays on the top. I would submit to you that GIS is that veneer. It's one of those pieces of that veneer of integration that it can go through and help provide and provide the linkages between all these distant, disparate systems by being able to interrelate using a common framework, using geospatial relationships, and be able to bring data from these different things and present it in a way that looks uniform. It looks like it's a solid table. All right, so a guy by the name of Nick Carr in 2004 wrote an article, said IT doesn't matter. Why did he say that? Well, his point was, this is my mouth for trying to explain, but basically that you've got all these different applications and databases that are out here, and what he's done, or what the internet has done, is we can now take this, and we can take these from the cloud or from internally, wherever they reside, and we can put together a homogenizer and deal these out the homogeneous user system, so that this, the edge doesn't matter anymore, right? The only thing that matters is really this piece here, and who are the service providers behind it. So what we see is what I would submit to you is the rise of the vendor as far as the balance of power. The business process owners go to trade shows, go to whatever, or get direct contact from the vendor community, and the vendors know the business process, know the business better than the internal IT departments. All right, so they better understand what it means to do water rec. They know better what it means to, because the IT people are IT people. You know, we know IT. We don't know the business as well. The tax people know the tax vendors know the tax process perhaps better than the internal tax people do, and so on. And what happens now is the vendors offer certification in their applications to the IT people. So their loyalty is also to the same group, right? So now you're certified in Oracle. Now you're certified in SAP. You go somewhere else, where are you going to go? You're going to go to another Oracle shop. You're not going to go to another tax shop, necessarily. You're going to look for somebody that has Oracle. Because that's your skill set. That's your differentiator. I'd submit to you that as IT people, we have more in common. That's one of the things that amazed me in the state, is how little the IT people interact, interagency. It just stunned me. Because again, we have more in common, I would submit, than we have with the vertical necessarily that we're working, whether it be finance or wherever the heck it is. This is a dynamic I see happening in the industry today, and I see this as a real problem. And so there seems to be a distancing of the relationship between the business process or even the business itself and their internal IT service provider. I think that's dangerous. All right, so where's the value in information technology? Well, if you're old enough to remember the 5 M's, when way back in the day when I got my MBA, we talked about the 5 M's. There's manufacturing, material, money, manpower, and method. Okay, that was the things, those were the resources the firm had. And about 1980, we started talking about this thing called information. Well, it was kind of weird, you know, that we were talking about information as a resource, as a corporate resource, and how do we manage it?
what information is weird, because when you use it, it actually gets bigger. It doesn't get smaller, right? It's compressible. So unlike materials, you know, if I use it, I don't have it for something else, and I can't really, if it takes a truckload of PVC pipe to cut, you know, I mean, it takes a certain amount of time, I can compress, I can miniaturize information. I can substitute it. I can use information in lieu of something, of materials or manpower or method. I can transport. I can send it to somebody else. It's diffusive. If I find out something new and I've got an advantage, somebody else says, I can't keep it from getting out. It's shareable. After this is over, you can go to my wiki and look this thing up. Okay, so what about technology? Open source versus proprietary. The thing that I had on there for GIS was, I'm trying to remember what this was specifically, the GIS, but basically my point was, under GIS for technology, is that's the glue, that's the piece that holds these things, or that can bring these things, can do these joins between this information. That's where the real value is, if there's a hierarchy to it, between knowledge and information. All right, so our question is, what good for which people at what cost? That's what we do in government. People think that in government, we should run government like a business. Well, it's not the same. We all know that. It's not the same way. You can't run government. We're not making money out of stuff. In fact, there are disincentives, if you will, to being efficient. All right? So let's say Department A is more efficient, and they save a dollar on it. Well, they don't get to keep the dollar. The dollar goes, the dollar is a dollar less that they have in their appropriation, right? And that dollar probably goes to somebody who hasn't been as efficient, or to some other purpose, some higher purpose, some greater need, whatever. So there's almost a disincentive for departments to be efficient, to do things in a better way. Well, it's all assumed that we do things in a better way. Fundamentally, the model is rigged against us. And I believe that, I'm a behaviorist, I believe that motivation is everything, all right? So if you're not motivated, I believe all behavior is, all voluntary behavior is motivated. There's a reason you do it. All right, whatever it is, if it's not habitual, if it's not, there's a reason you do the thing. Well, whatever that motivation is what's got to be gone after. I mean, if you don't understand the motivation, you can't change the behavior. All right, so I don't know if I really want to talk about this too much. I'm going to skip this part. All right, so we talk about here with this is enterprise architecture. And so if you think about the slivers of architecture, like I had mentioned before, we have different slivers of things that are, so every one of these, every system has its own database, has its own definition of address, right? It'll have street number and address. Some will have street number, direction, and street name. Some will have street number, direction, street name, suffix. Some will have, you know, just an infinite number of ways you can slice and dice something as simplistic as street name, and they're not going to be the same system to system to system. And so you have to find some way to blend these together. That's what GIS does for us. It helps blend these together. So basically, these are just things on the left and actions on the right, and we have resources and behavior. So resources and behavior, that's really all there is to it as far as enterprise architecture. Let me talk about federated security for a minute. Federated security, there's one that should come up here, but for some reason it's not. It's just a bunch of silos in a row. Federated security, and the whole federated concept is where we're trying to create a community of peers, where we're trying, instead of centralizing things, instead of managing things through one core, we're trying to say, how do we manage things in a distributed, federated environment? In GIS, this is particularly important for you guys. So anyone know what these numbers are besides Dick? These represent besides silos, which this one, you know, whatever. Anyone might hazard a guess?
Some sort of nomenclature for types of federated security?
Kind of, yeah, or a federated, some a nomenclature for different federated models was scared. There we go. These are the number of agencies that we have. We have 132 executive branch agencies in the state of Oklahoma. We are truly blessed. We have four judicial branch agencies. We have, I should say 2 plus 1, but there's three of these legislative branch agencies, House, Senate, and then there's the Legislative Services Branch. And then there's 45 education summons, individual groups.
That makes for a total of 184 agencies, individual, independent agencies in the state. That's more than California. That's absolutely incredible. We are truly blessed. So, 184 untrusted entities. This is our current model. So, if you want to get access to something that's in somebody else's, if somebody here wants to get to information that's there, that's in another environment, if I have an information repository, I want to access your information repository, I have to have a separate ID and password and that whole thing set up within your environment. I can't even hook my PC up to the cotton-picking network here. I mean, that's how, I mean, you know, it just can't be done. We just don't trust each other. We're 184 untrusted entities, all right? And each of us takes care of our own stuff, and that's it, you know? We just don't trust each other. There's a couple of models that we can consider. We can consider partial trust of entities, or we can consider a federation of trusted entities. I submit we really want to go here, but a partial trust of entities would be like, all right, well, let's say that all the health groups were to say, all right, well, we'll create our own little federation, all right? All the education groups said, well, we'll create our own federation so that I trust if you follow these procedures, these what? If someone says somebody else is trustworthy, if someone else says, hey, you know, Dick's all right, I can let him in. Okay, well, then, you know, I'll go and ask OSF, well, you know, is he really trustworthy or not? They'll say, yeah, he's good. All right, well, he's good. If he's good with you, he's good with me. And I'll let him in. And he can get at whatever resources I federate, whatever resources that I provide that I want to make available to my community of practice. Could be a wiki, could be a hard drive, could be an application like GIS, could be a repository of data, some kind of a metadata frame, could be all kinds of different things that you may choose to federate. Right? Right now we're talking just within our own agencies. That doesn't have to be where this ends. You can have other people join your community of practice. They could be, you know, heaven help you, you could have Esri as your community of practice. You could have, you know, whoever it is, you could choose other entities to be part of your community, and you would control that. All right, so Shibboleth is the model that it's an open source brought from Brown, but it's an open source application. What does it handles identity requests from LDAP. So it works to form a web of trust. All right, so basically, if I'm okay here, well, let's go to the next one. This may be a little too technical. You guys don't care about this all that much. But if I'm authenticating and I come in and I say I come up to your entity and I say, all right, let's use this other one, it's a little more abstract, it's a little easier. I come to you and I say, all right, I want to get to your stuff in water resource. You say, well, where are you coming from? That's a wafer server. I say, I'm coming from OSF. It says, all right, hang on. And it goes over to OSF and says, hey, this guy says he's from you. Is this right? Well, hang on, I'll find out. It challenges me with whatever security I'm using now, if I'm using LDAP, if I'm using Novell Directory Services, if I'm using AD, Microsoft AD, if I, you know, I'll get a little Microsoft, you know, authentication box, if I'm running Tivoli, if I'm running RACF, whatever it is I'm running, it's going to make me authenticate just like I do already in my current environment. And then if I pass that, then that server comes back, that Shibboleth server says, yeah, he's all right, you can let him in. Yeah, it lets me in. That's federated security. And you don't care about this. We're already past this stuff. All right, I want to talk about one more thing. I'm going to have to skip to another presentation real quick to show you the federated model for governance. I know I'm taking up a lot of your time. I'm sorry. Hopefully this has some relevance. Well, so here's what we're saying. We have an infrastructure layer at the bottom, and basically, if you're a positivist, which most of us are in IT, then you tend to believe that there's one right answer for the basic stuff, for the 110. There's one way that we should be delivering this stuff, right? There's just one optimal way to do it, whatever it is, okay? That's the bottom piece. That's the simplification piece. That's the piece that's like,
Nobody really cares where they're getting their IP address from, all right? We just don't care, okay? It's an IP address. We have some, you know, but you know what I'm saying? It just does not matter to the end user. Then there's the enterprise layer. That's where I would submit to you GIS exists. And that's where we need to, we have business services utilized by multiple agencies. It says centralized. It really is a federated business model. And at the very top, we've got our agency layers, all right? And at the agency layers, we have specific services that we have specific technologies that, so let's say for water, we're going to have, we're going to want to be sure that we can keep track of things like the build for the water system so we can do pressure plane analysis and blah, blah, blah. So in order to do that, we're going to have to keep some of the things specific to our agency, the technology that supports the actual delivery of our service, near and dear to us. That stuff's not going to change. So really, it looks like this. You know, going back to my 130 whatever agencies it is, but this is the piece that I submit to you that's going to be fragmented, but I don't know how many of these there are yet. I know GIS is one. I would submit there are a lot of business services that would fall into this. Things like payroll, heaven help us. Things like travel. Things like accounts payable. Things that are just normal business requirements, needs that are right now 132 of them across the state. Those are things that are going to be federated. Those are things that are going to be shared business services, I envision. I would submit that GIS will be some kind of a shared business service model. I haven't figured out how that works yet. We're having governance workshops. We're going to be discussing it. I would submit for this group, that's one of the topics that I would certainly like to hear what you think an approach would be to that. I've asked Esri for some help with this as well, to look at different ways of doing this. But again, my point is with shared business services is that this is something that the entire state could utilize. They may not all be contributors to it as far as layers, but they may contribute other things that would be able to help us, perhaps through a subscription service. There may be agencies that want to be able to just have, you know, there would be basic services, let's say, that we would be able to view from Google Earth, you know, and you get the really crummy, you know, view of the ground, you know, you get a view of the ground, pictures overlaid with some base layers and such. Maybe somebody else, like public safety, would want to be able to have it in three obliques. So they would have it within a foot and they'd get it 90, 45, and then at street level. Maybe there's different levels of service that we would want to provide. Maybe there's different things that we would want to attach to this that would be of value. I'm not sure how that works. I can just throw out things that we did at the City of Denton when we ferried. So we were, the City of Denton had an electric utility, a water utility, we still have them, but you know, a lot of 32 agencies. Most of them, when I got there, had their own GIS going. I took none of that away, but we federated and we made it a central repository. And then by doing that, we were able to give resources to other departments that were subscribers to it, like the police department, that would never have had the access, it would have never have done this before, would have never needed it, well they needed it, would never have thought of it, could have never put that kind of thing together. And it was an enormously successful project for us. It was something I presented at International City Managers Association a few years ago. So what's my point? What are we going to do different? Let's flip back to the other one real quick. What do we all have that I can do from the... Well, that sucks. Now, just flip this really old fashioned. What will we do different? From current. So what's going to be different? This is a technology and a policy direction I would submit to you. And again, this is going to be one of those things that I would hope that we will get your input into how this thing's going to work. Which elements are ready to go? I would submit to you that not everything's ready to go. You know, this is, I'm at least 24, maybe 36 months ahead of, but maybe not. Maybe there are some pieces that are ready to go right now as far as what could we federate. What could we begin bringing together in a central repository? What have you already done? Center line stuff, right of ways, so on. All right, so efficiency and effectiveness issues to balance. True assessment of where we are today, you may already have that. What additional services could we offer within the community? And part of that's going to dovetail with the management study that's going on right now that the state's undertaking. Transforming the definition of e-government and again, of GIS services is what that's what I changed it to. And how far are we really willing to go? So if we were to bring this together, who else would be participants in this? And how far do we want to go? Do we want to include, of course, you know, with counties and municipalities, I would submit that would be an easy one. But what about non-governmental agencies? What about one of the groups, you know, one of the groups we found that we federated with who was a big user of our GIS were the school district, was the local school district. They had an enormous amount because they do a lot of property management. And all their planning, it was a really nice fit for us. Gave us a lot of insight into what they were doing. All right, so the act of discovery, this is one of my favorite quotes, the act of discovery consists not in the finding of new lands, but in seeing with new eyes. So it's about seeing what we already have, but from a different paradigm, from a different view. I've wasted a lot of your time. I'm sorry. I hope some of this was stuck to the law. So anyway, any questions I can answer?
I know you're probably new in your tenure here, but what would you say is the biggest stumbling block that you've already seen here in Oklahoma trying to do this, implement this type of thing in our state?
There is in my wiki, if I were to bring it up and point it out, I have a lot of members, but very little interaction, and I'm not sure if that's a, I'm not sure if there's I know people are hesitant to join something and to open up and to start, but there's a lot of, to be really bald about it, there's a lot of fear, just flat fear. And I'm looking for communities where there's less fear. I would submit GIS should be an area, a group that should have very little fear of one another. Y'all should have a lot of stuff that you're willing to share. You've come from a background of sharing. I would think that this would be a really good environment, a really good group to see this kind of thing get going. So, you know, but I see a lot of, I sense a lot of hesitancy because it's, people are afraid if they share something that they will be somehow diminished. And that concerns me a great deal because I don't know how to overcome it. You know, it's almost, all I can do is say, you know, say, trust me. You know, I mean, it's like fashion design, right? There's no way that you come up with a new fashion. You can't protect it. You can't copyright it. But they still come out with new stuff. In fact, the fact that they have been as sharing of a culture has made them more successful, not less. So I hope that answers the question. Yes, ma'am.
Would there be a way that the public can get some data? Because right now I work for ONG and I'm looking for data that's not on the CSA and on the stump.
You should join the OKGIS list server at OU. You can use Google OKGIS list and you'll get a page where you can join it. And that is a community of interest for the GIS community in Oklahoma. Where people can go on and they can submit questions. If you work in GIS, then you can submit questions like, I'm looking for this data or that data, where do I go? And usually you'll get back half a dozen responses within an hour.
Great.
Telling where to go.
Thank you.
Functions very much like the wiki.
It can, yeah, it can function a lot like the wiki. I'm hoping that the wiki might provide a more intimate for state agencies in particular.
This group is used to being pretty open and sharing information through that listserv, so I think it's kind of natural.
Listservs, and like you saw with how I fished out my presentations here from the wiki, you're not just limited to just question answer. You know, that's the beauty of the wiki. You can stick data up there, heaven help. You know, you can put things out there that help. You know what I mean? So
it's about file server too?
It can be a file server, it can be a discussion board, it can be a frequently asked questions repo, it can be anything you want, it can be a database, it can be anything you want. And that's just confluence. But if you extend the idea of the community, it's not just limited to the wiki. You could have a drive space out there, right? You could go out and you could put layers out there. You could have, there's nothing that would prevent you from doing that. You could have your own federation of trusted entities, and you could share whatever resource you want to share.
I really think the GIS community has really been leading the way in this for more than 10 years, because sure. There are actually three data repositories out there. There's the one that Office of Geographic Information has, there's one that OU, and there's one at OSU. And all three of them have a variety of data, shape files or whatever data sources, either by county or by statewide, and you know, where they're provided with metadata attached. And I think in a lot of ways, we've already implemented a lot of what you're talking about here with the wiki. Although the wiki is more the new technology and more sophisticated.
And it would provide you with a history as well. You know, right? So, and the other thing that's good with the wiki is if you wanted to, you could reach out. You know, a lot of groups will get together that are very, and you all are very technically heavy, you know, so you all have, most everybody in this room specifically has something that they contribute, you know, that they bring data or they bring layers or they bring whatever. There are groups of people out there that could use your stuff that have really nothing to contribute. They would be users of your data. And I would submit to you that to really get GIS to where we've got to reach that group. That's just my opinion. Yes, ma'am.
Amy Britton, PEQ. And we have an internal work group in our agency, and we have a wiki for our internal work group for all different divisions. So we're almost like silos in the same agency. And we use it really well for drafting, editing, SOPs, documents that we're trying to produce for our agency. So we've had, for a couple of years now, we've used the wiki pretty successfully.
That's good.
But, you know, the DEQ are very interested in what you're talking about, and anybody to talk to you, call me,
Roy
Walker,
DQ. We need a champion for a wiki for a GIS space. That's what the heck we need. I don't want to do it. I got my own wiki. But we got them out there, and for technology stuff, there's no fee for it. We don't charge you for it or anything like that. It's just. But again, it's what the point is. Is we're trying to promote communities of practice like this. Yeah.
So for GIS, how's this going to look in, say, 5 or 10 years? Are you talking about all the GIS servers for everybody in the state residing in one massive data center and using all the same software, and then all the specialists that build applications and manipulate the data for the agency staying there? Is that what you're talking about?
I think I'm going to duck it and say, you know what, I'm not really here to provide you with I can give you a vision of what I think would be some things for you.
Well,
to
that's
consider.
What I'm asking for.
Yeah, and I could, I don't mind doing that, but it'd be out of school for me to say, well, this is what you're going to do, really. You know, I mean, I see myself as, let me log out of my wiki here real quick. I'm supposed to log out. I think that, I would see, you know, one of the problems that we've always got is it's one thing to have a community appears, it's another thing to have a community which starts orienting itself towards service. So as you orient yourself more and more towards service, at some point in time, somebody's going to have to pick it up and say, well, this is becoming a full-time job, right? You know, you can't, it's not just like, it's just like open source, right? You know, you can download it, but actually getting it up and running takes some effort and energy. It ain't free, right? You know, it's going to take time. Same thing's true with this. If we're going to actually reach out to the non-GIS contributors, the ones that are outside of our community today, it's going to change from being a peer community to a service community. How is that going to be managed? I don't know. I can't tell you. You know, Mike's got nothing else to do. Maybe he'll do it for a while. But, you know, going forward, I don't see that as a viable model. You know, so what are we going to do about that? I would submit that's for this group to decide how it's going to happen. That's a lot more candor than you expected, huh?
Now, that's something that's going to shake out of this study that's being done.
Well, you know, as far as that again, getting back to I should have left it out there, as far as that middle layer is concerned, GIS definitely falls in that middle layer. When we talk about optimizing cost, which is what the ledge is focused on, and everybody else for that matter right now, we're not looking at that middle layer. We're looking at the bottom layer, right? We're looking at the right answer for those things, because that's where we're going to shake the money from. The middle layer, that's more of a constructivist viewpoint. You know, there's more than one right answer. It's up to you all to come up with that vision for what that is, and then we'll instantiate it. But that's a longer process. I know you've been at it a longer time. I'll give you that. But as far as actually moving from being a community, a peer community, to a service community, I don't think you figured that out yet, no offense. You know, and so how you're going to do that, and what that's going to look like, and how you're going to charge for that. Are you going to do it by subscription? Are you going to do it by call for service? Are you going to, you know, how are you going to build it? How are you going to reach out to that group? I don't know.
One of the services that it saved me, and I'm sure everyone here, is just some sort of centralized server providing, you know, base data.
Yeah, center lines.
So that we don't have to maintain local copies of data, things like that.
Yeah.
That's what I've been in favor of that for years.
That certainly we I guess that's the direction I'm looking for from all y'all, right? And I'd like to see that discussion go on and crystallize to a specific recommendation or set of recommendations of what we think we could do.
Actually, Mike, you're setting that up. The services, the map services for OGI right now. Yeah. Are those happen with those new servers before the ones that sign you?
Yes, that's part of the function is to publish those web services so that you can connect on your desktop with whatever software that you're using, since it's all open source, you know, protocols. And you can pull that data in. Now, you don't have to have it locally on your system.
I think, though, we keep talking about this centralized. I think that's the opposite of what you're talking about. But the Federated Security may not have that centralized place. It's, if you want roads, you go to hook into ODOT's hard drive or server, and if I want poultry operations, I just look straight to yours. And for me, you know, you get lakes and streams or whatever. But to me, that's a better deal, because then I don't have to take the time to take my data, upload it.
You got different ways you can skin this cat.
Things
however you want to do it.
Connected like that, then you just plug in, which maybe not open.
Well, there are cases where, like for Homeland Security, they need data that's packaged in one place. So they don't want to have to go out and get here and there everywhere in the situation. Because those links to that data may or may not always be available.
That's the issue, is that, you know, if you become disconnected from the outside world, or the sort of data source you're pulling from becomes disconnected from the outside world, then there's a need to have the latest versions, which is motivated by having a direct link to the live data, but then there's also the need to remain operational if you become disconnected from the data source.
So you're talking policy issues here, though, really, in my opinion, you know, as far as, okay, so do you want that central repository and that kind of thing, or do you want to distribute it and federate it where you can assemble it on demand as you need? You know, and there's different, or do you want something between that? There's a lot of different ways you can do this. That's really all I'm submitting to you to consider, is that you could skin this cat in different ways. I don't have an answer for you. I'm not ready yet to bring it forward. In a, you know, my report is due a year from the date of my hire. So April the 4th of 2011, I got to bring forward my report to the ledge with that bottom layer infrastructure stuff. If we're ready to go with a GIS thing, I'm happy to entertain it. But if we're not ready to go, I'm not bringing it. You know, I'm going to make that date no matter what. All right, that's required by statute. So I'm going to accomplish that. But if y'all are ready, that's great. If you're not, well, you know, the bus will be by again at some point. You know, but if you can start this discussion, you know, that would be a good thing. Because I don't see it I see this as a really, I don't want to say contentious issue. I think there are different ways you could do it. I think that this has to be worked out by y'all and then come up with how you want to do it, and I'll support you.
So when you say, what is it that you'd plan is to achieve by April 4th in order to make it happen here.
Well, Mike and I kind of discussed this a little bit, but basically it's what is your vision for GIS services in the state? How are you going to move? Again, you know, what is it, what would be required to move us from being a community, a peerage to a community of service, to where you're able to actually have services, and what services would you want to offer? And how would it be funded? How would it be sustained?
Mike has had
At least 2 weeks to think about this since we talked about it. So
Mike has no doubt talked about the Office of Geographic Information that was authorized at the based on the plans that did by the OPM by the GI Council, but never funded. And they're looking for an influential advocate to support funding that office.
But what are you going to do? It's easy to say that, well, funding, and then there's different funding, right? There's funding through appropriations, there's funding through subscriptions, right? It's a lot easier to tolerate funding through subscriptions than it is through appropriations, you know what I mean? One-time money, that's one thing. You know, if we go through and say, well, we need a server, we need software, we need whatever, you can bond that, you stick it out there, that's easy to swallow in this environment. Funding by appropriation, that's tough, right? So how, you know, because you're saying you're going to need this money every year for the rest of your life. Well, that's not going to be as sustainable. What are the services you could offer that somebody else would do that might be willing to contribute something for? I just use the obliques as an example. You know, that there are different things. You know, you do the flyover and the things, you do the three obliques. Somebody would be, you know, PDs would be willing to pay money for that. I know it. They do it at the COGS in Texas. Sorry you had me, huh? Anything else? I appreciate your patience very much. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, let's move on. Item 8, new business. Anybody have any new business today? Okay, hearing none. How about announcements? Anything coming up? We've got something coming up next Wednesday. Esri, Mark 10?
Tuesday.
Oh, it's Tuesday. Okay, I'm thinking something else on the 10th. You want to say anything about that, Michael?
Please come. It's Tuesday. The event starts at 9. Registration opens up at 8:15, I believe. And the location again is the Renaissance Hotel. And so it'll start at 9. It'll end, we'll have lunch. Lunch will be served for you guys, of course, coffee and some food in the morning. Should end around 2:30-ish, but we'll open it up for questions and answers. So if you have time on Tuesday, please come. And it's a free event. And we'll cover ArcGIS 10, basically the system, kind of go through our vision of what 10 can do for, you know, to make your work a little more productive. So just kind of going through some of the new tools and some of the new advancements in 10. Okay.
Charles, you got anything else, Scott?
Hey, we're pretty much, the next thing's going to be regional. We'll probably have a meeting this spring, but we're kind of winding down and going to the holidays.
I guess that took care of the announcements. We'll look at our next meeting, which we won't have one in December, but January. Looks like maybe the 7th will be our first available Friday. We are looking, you know, we've had requests from folks in other areas of the state to have a meeting, you know, like in Tulsa or somewhere like that. And, you know, that's a get everybody there, there's a lot of travel involved. You know, times are tough, hard to get travel authorized, that sort of thing. Plus the time involved. So we're looking at using some of the facilities at OneNet to actually hold the meeting at their location, which is down in South Lincoln, actually North Lincoln, in the Presbyterian Health Foundation complex, where they can broadcast this meeting over to a facility in Tulsa and in Lawton. They're already doing it for the InfraGuard group, doing that. So we're going to investigate that to see if we can do it. James Deaton has said he, you know, they can do it no cost to us, which, you know, that makes it work. And he's also looking into how we can make it a two-way kind of a conversation situation, so people in Tulsa, a lot, you know, wherever we send this to, we'd be able to ask questions and that sort of thing. So I don't know that we're going to be able to get it in place by January, but hopefully sometime next year we'll be able to give that a try and see how it works out. So looking forward to that. Take advantage of this technology that's not being fully utilized. So if there's nothing else, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Okay, motion made and seconded. We adjourn, and we are adjourned. Thank you very much, everyone, for being here today.